Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, beliefs, and content expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, and belief expressed on this show may not be the same as those of KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Good evening and welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, and my good friend and partner on this program is David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and we're delighted to have you in our listening audience this evening. Now, we'd like to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show. And if you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, we would love for you to do so. And the number is 254-445-2473. Now, that's 254-445-2473. Now, we encourage you to write that number down. Put a fast speed on your mobile telephone, or write it down on a piece of paper there by your radio, so you'll always be ready to call in with some good comments you may have or a question that will really enhance our program. Now remember, you might also tell your friends that you can also listen to this via the internet. You can go to harrisonmoore.org, or you can go to kqx89.7.com. And you can listen to the radio program via the internet. If you're on the edge and can't quite pick it up well, or if you've got friends or neighbors, we've got people listening in other states to the program, and we encourage you to tell others about this program. Now, last week, we began a two-part series on what we have entitled Socialism, Communism, and Immorality. And we established that we are in a big problem right now here in the United States of America. We have a generation who no longer knows God. We have a generation who are removing from their notion the things about God and concerning His Word. As a matter of fact, it reminds you a great deal of what was said in the long ago in the book of Judges. In Judges chapter 2 and verse 10 it says, "And all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel." Only one generation had come and gone, and already the children of Israel had forgotten God. You know, David, we're supposed to be a Christian nation.
Mm-hmm.
A nation who once believed in God and knew His Word and looked for God for the solutions to the problems that we're encountering, but no longer. It seems that more and more people are promoting and pushing things like socialism and communism. We talked about last week how that our forefathers came to America for freedoms, for the freedom of dictatorial government, freedom from unfair taxation, freedom from forced religion, and they were looking for their natural God-given rights, the freedom of capitalism. These freedoms were put together for us in the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and these freedoms were guaranteed by the supreme laws of our land. But David, these freedoms are now under attack by such things as communism and socialism. And this is something that we need to very much deal with today, isn't it, David?
Absolutely. And we, again, we want to give this out, this phone number. We've had several people call in. Is my mic not working? Oh, okay. We had several people call in that have told us we haven't been giving this phone number out often enough because people want to call in and yet they can't. They don't know the number. It's the number again is 254-445-2473. Now, you mentioned communism and socialism, and used to, Tom, in this country, in this United States of America, and as we showed last week, capitalism and the Bible and God's ways go hand in hand. But now, we have been having, in our governmental system, we have been having the interjection of communism and socialism, the ways that promote communism, the ways that promote socialism, and it is being introduced by, among many other things, in the form of health care in this nation right now. And everything that our founding fathers fought to uphold and fight for in that Declaration of Independence, for the freedom that they wanted for this nation, for the freedom that we have been able to enjoy in our lifetime. These things are, they are vanishing before our very eyes. And what we intend to do tonight, is we are going to show the effects of communism on society. And what we're going to do is show you that it is only through a capitalistic form of government that God is going to have any say so whatsoever in this country.
Exactly. And we showed beyond a shadow of a doubt last week, and we're going to mention it again, how that God promotes, condones, and demands, and gives us the authority for it to have a capitalistic type government. Because we're going to see that involved in socialism and the humanistic philosophy and communism, that the core of this is atheism, godlessness, and a lack of reverence for the Word of God. And whenever we get away from that, David, well, it seems to me that Proverbs said something about that righteousness exalteth the nation. We're not going to have righteousness in communism.
No.
We're not going to have righteousness in socialism. Righteousness comes from God's Word. Psalm 119, verse 172 says, God's Word is righteousness. And so if we want to have a righteous nation, my friends, we need to get back to the Word of God.
Absolutely. And for the premise tonight, what we're going to do is establish two facts. Communism cannot exist with God, and capitalism cannot exist without God. And to prove this point about the capitalistic government, I would like for you to take your Bibles and look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 13. And I want you to see here what he tells us. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 13, he says, "And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God." Again, in chapter 5 of the book of Ecclesiastes, in verse number 19, it says, "And every man also to whom God has given riches and wealth, and has given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to require, and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God." These are our moral, natural rights, as we pointed out last week. These are our gifts from God, our blessings from God in this nation that is a godly, God-fearing nation based upon the laws that are based upon God's laws.
It is God's right, or a God-given right, for us to enjoy the fruit of our labor.
Absolutely.
You know, and under communism and socialism, you do not enjoy the fruits of your labor. The government does, and everybody else does.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't. Or you are not able to really enjoy that God-given right that we have under socialism or communism. And that's why it's so important for us to realize the importance of God in this whole society of things and in our government. And that's exactly where our government seems to want to be getting further and further away from.
Mm-hmm.
That is God. And we can't do that and survive.
Well, it seems like if there were any kind of a politician whatsoever who would make a reference to God, that politician would be lambasted by our media You should not bring God into politics, but God is all through politics. God is our politics here in this United States of America.
Do you remember not too long ago they were deriding Rick Santorum because they said he was too religious?
Right.
Well, I'm not really promoting any guy right now, but to say a man is too religious to be in politics, that just shows we're getting further away from God with regard to what our nation ought to be.
I read an article today from the media that says the C word and the word Christian, according to this media, the C word is as bad as using the N word.
Mm-hmm.
Now get a hold of that one, would you? Now, you talk about people that are atheistic to the core, that are trying to take a hold of this country. Friends, you folks that are listening out there, you better get a hold of your politicians and make sure that these people understand what God's will is for this country.
Exactly. Now, remember, this is a live call-in talk show, and if you'd like to call in with a comment or a question, we encourage you to do so at 254-445-2473. Now that's 254-445-2473. But you mentioned, David, how that capitalism cannot exist without God.
Mm-hmm.
And we just proved that from the scriptures, and logic also proves the very same thing. But also realize that communism cannot exist with God. And we know this is the case because of things like what Karl Marx has said. Now, for those of you who may not realize who Karl Marx is, he is really the father of communism. And when you think about some of the things that Karl Marx have said, the thing that really astounds me and scares me with regard to the idea of communism is his denunciation and dislike of religion.
No doubt.
And I have before me three reasons why Karl Marx dislikes religion. First of all, he says that religion is irrational. Secondly, he says religion negates all that is dignified in human being. Now, that's a big phrase right there.
Yes.
I would think it's just the opposite, that it brings dignity to mankind. But he says religion brings negates dignity in man. And thirdly, he says that religion is hypocritical. Now, you think about this philosophy of this man, the one who is produced the effects, the doctrines of communism.
Right.
And at the very basis of this is his disdain for religion.
Now, I think it would do for us to point out right now, Tom, and for all of those folks that are out there listening, all religion is not the same.
Exactly.
And if he's talking about a false religion, if he's talking about a corrupt religion, if he's talking about a religion that is based upon man's wisdom and not God's wisdom, I believe he's correct in all three points.
Yes.
But if he's pointing to the Bible and the doctrine of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the church that he established with his own blood, if he's talking about the first century church that we read about in our Bible, he is so wrong and so off that it's not even comparable. What he's saying is not even comparable to what we are reading in the Bible. And what we need to, this just goes to show us even more than ever, we've got to get back to the Bible.
Exactly.
We've got to just shun what all men have taught us about what's in here and read it for ourselves.
That's right. Don't be afraid to stand up. You know, people are not afraid to talk politics.
Mm-hmm.
They're not afraid to show pictures of the grandkids, you know, but they are afraid many times to stand up and be counted as a Christian and stand up for moral principles because they're afraid of what the government will do or what politicians will do or what their friends will say. But that's what got us in this trouble in the first place. We have refused to stand up and be counted. Karl Marx, he's standing opposed to this. He says also, he's saying here, Karl Marx, the founder of communism, he's saying that religion is meant to create illusionary fantasies for the poor. Economic realities prevent them from finding true happiness, he says, in this life. And so religion tells them it's okay to be poor and miserable in this world because you can find true happiness in the next life. What he's doing, David, is blaming religion for the ills of the people. Now, as you said, if he's blaming false religion, he's correct. But I believe he speaks to all religion, even true religion.
No doubt.
And by doing that, he's telling us that the true religion of God, the true religion of the Bible, the church that Jesus died for, is, he's saying, is insignificant. He's saying it's hypocritical. He says it's irrational. He said it does not dignify man. And my friends, he is dead wrong on this.
No doubt. Now, what I would like for us to do is prove the second point. We said capitalism cannot exist without God. We proved that with Scripture. We are now trying to prove, and not trying, but we are now going to prove that communism cannot exist with God. And we're dealing with Karl Marx. We're dealing with the father of communism, just as we have been dealing with capitalism and the fathers of our country. And so here's what the father of communism, Karl Marx, has to say, that he details 10 essential tenets of communism. Now, folks, if you don't think we're not in trouble in this country, just listen to what he says needs to happen.
And compare to what's going on today.
Compare it to what is going on in our government today, being led by a man by the name is whose name is Obama. Now, number one, he says there needs to be a central banking system. Number two, he says there need to be government-controlled education. These are the 10 tenets of Karl Marx. Number three, there needs to be government-controlled labor. Number four, government ownership of transportation and communication vehicles. There needs to be government ownership of agricultural means and factories. There needs to be the total abolition of private property. There needs to be private property or property rights confiscation. There needs to be heavy income tax on everyone, and the elimination of rights of inheritance and regional planning. Friends, I don't know about you, but this sounds just exactly like what we are into up to our ears right here in this capitalistic government called the United States of America, who has God at the basis of our foundation.
Exactly. He's pushing for atheistic type views of things. Government control. Now, my friends, the smaller the government, the better we're going to be. That's always been the way it's been. That's the way it should be. But when you look at what Obama and other people are trying to do, they're trying to push this government control. And when they do that, they're going to cause us nothing but difficulty. And we see it already beginning to occur. Now, remember, this is a live call-in talk show. If you'd like to call in with a comment or question, we encourage you to do so at 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. Now, in the communistic society that Karl Marx described, the government has supreme authority through its total control of land and means of production. Because the government distributes land and property among the people, communism sets a standard of equality both economically and socially among its followers. So, David, what communism is saying then is the government has all authority to establish all laws, all regulations, even as far as what you believe religiously and also in the marriage situation.
Right.
Now, what does that say about God and our government?
Well, what it says about this totally eliminates God. In other words, they want to take God's standard of right and wrong, and they want to replace it with an elite group of men and women thinkers that want a total control over every single thing that we do and take God out of the Bible, because God is wanting to impose his moral righteousness on everybody.
Right.
And that's the reason they want him out of the way.
That's right. And man's trying to reject that.
Absolutely.
They're trying to raise another generation who knows not the Lord. And if we allow this to occur, we're going to be just like many of the nations who have faltered. You remember the Roman Empire?
Absolutely.
One of the most powerful nations that ever existed upon the face of the earth. And they were not destroyed because of some stronger nation coming abroad. No, they were destroyed from within. They were destroyed because of their moral decay from within. And why does moral decay occur? Because the Word of God, God is no longer in their minds, is no longer in their thoughts. And as a result, evil abounds, immorality abounds, and a nation crumbles. And we can see the very thing happening before our eyes in the United States of America.
No doubt. Now, what I would like us to see here is, you know, we started out last week, we're talking about socialism, communism, we're talking about immorality, and what the Bible has to say about all this. But, Tom, I would like to focus this thing on, instead of talking in generalities now, let's get specific about this, and let's look at communism's effect on society, the society in which we live. And what we need to understand that a society cannot be a society without a family as its fundamental foundation, whether it be economic or whether it be social, moral, it's going to have a family, a cohesive unit in order for it to be prosperous morally, economically, or any other way. It's got to have the family structure.
Exactly. And what we're going to be talking about is the family as God would have it. You know, we're having a lot of people in our world who are trying to redefine what the family is.
No doubt about that.
But what we're concerned about is what God says about the family. After all, God is the supreme being. God is the creator of all things. God is omniscient. He is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He has all authority. And so what we're concerned about then is in regard to the family is what God has to say. Now, we want you to write down three passages of Scripture that we're going to be looking at here in a little while. And the first passage we want you to write down is Genesis chapter 2. We're going to begin in verse 24. So write that down. Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 24. Also, with your pencil there, write down Matthew chapter 19, beginning verse 3. And then also write Ephesians chapter 5, beginning verse 21. We're going to be looking at these passages because they are going to tell us what God really has to say about the family and how important this is to our country and to our righteousness and to be the kind of people that God would have us to be. Now, remember, again, this is a live call-in talk show. And we'd like you to call in with a question or comment. We've had people tell us here in recent days that they wanted to call in, but they just held back. They didn't have the phone number. So here's the phone number, 254-445-2473. Now, all this began, David, about the family in the book of Genesis, didn't it?
Absolutely. At the very beginning.
Yeah, God has told us from the very beginning what he wanted to have. Now, look in your Bibles with us for a moment. Let's look in Genesis chapter 2. Beginning there in verse, let's begin in verse 23. God had just created Adam and Eve, right?
Mm-hmm.
Adam is looking over this situation. He looked at all the animals of that was created, and he didn't find any of them for them that was suitable for him, did he?
No.
And so God created from Adam's rib a woman. And in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 23, it says, "And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh.'"
Now here's the beginning of the family unit right here.
Exactly.
Right after the earth and the heavens were created, God put in place the family unit.
The very first institution God established. Family. Husband and wife. Male and female. Adam and Eve. Just those three things right there, male, female, husband, wife, Adam and Eve, tells us a great deal about the family, doesn't it?
There is no doubt about it. And this is the family as God would have it. Now, there have been a lot of people, and especially here in the last 10 or 12 years, people are getting more and more vocal about things. But there have been a lot of people that have tried to, and let me back that up, probably the last 25 years, that have tried to reestablish and refocus man's thinking on what a true family is. I believe I've even heard our president say that the family unit is not the way it used to be. Well, who changed it? God never changed his way about it.
That's right. And you know what's even scarier to me, David, is now they're beginning to teach to our young people in schools mm-hmm. at a very early age that the family is not what you always thought it was what was to be.
Well, and this goes right back to Karl Marx's, one of the 10 tenets of communism, that government control the school.
Exactly.
And so what did they do? First thing, they took prayer out of it. Next thing, they said the you can't have the Ten Commandments hanging on your wall. The next thing, you cannot have a Bible in the school. Now you cannot mention God or Christ or the church or anything like that, but you can mention all kinds of other things.
That's right. And so
we've had a total abolition, really, of what religion as God would have it being introduced into the school system. And we have now man's ideas put forcefully in our children's heads.
Now, the reason we're even mentioning this in the first place is because one of the things that communism does is redefine the family.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that by the government having full authority to establish what they say is family or is not family. The government has all authority. And that is contrary to what the Bible says. The Bible from the very beginning says this is what the family is. The family consists of a man and a woman, Adam and Eve, and they are to become one flesh. They are to leave father and mother to become one flesh. Now, Jesus also, does he not, David, picks up where they left off in the book of Genesis with regard to what this family relationship is all to be about.
And brings it right over into your New Testament, and that's where you directed the people to turn just a moment ago. By the way, as you turn your pages to Matthew chapter 19, the number to call is 254-445-2473. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus picks up this discussion because a bunch of religious people who were in religious error were trying to justify a bad position on God's family unit.
Exactly right.
And so they come to Jesus and they're trying to tempt him. And the Pharisees in chapter 19, verse 3, also came to him tempting him, saying, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" And he answered, and he said, "Have you not read?" Now, what is he referring to there, Tom?
Referring to the Scriptures, is he not?
He's referring to the Scripture that we just got through reading in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. "Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, just as you mentioned just a moment ago?" And he said, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more two, but they are one flesh. What God has joined together, let not man separate." And so Jesus is making reference to the family unit, to God's family as he would have it, male and female, one for the other for the one, and that is all that he has authorized. Well, they didn't like this answer, and so they ask him again, "Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement to put her away?" And he said, "Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, tolerated you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so." And again, he's making reference to the family unit as God would have it in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. In other words, Moses put an easement there for those Jews. Now Jesus says, "I'm going to take it away. From the beginning it was not so." And then he says, "I say unto you, he that has all the authority," Jesus the Christ, "whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, commits adultery, and whoso marries her which is put away does commit adultery. Now here he is making reference again to God's purpose at the very beginning, how man corrupted
it. Since July 4th, 1855, when Stephenville, Texas was mapped and named after John and William
Wait, we got some problems here. Are we back on the air?
We're back square now.
Okay. We got a novice over here running the board. Is that it? Somebody that we brought in. Okay, he'll get it after a while. So what we see here is that Jesus has removed the easement that man corrupted from God's original intent.
Exactly.
And so again, we have just what God said all through the ages, reinforced by the one with all authority, Jesus Christ, and he says it's one man for one woman for life, and that's the end of that story.
Just think how wonderful our society would be if marriages stuck.
No doubt.
You didn't have the continual divorces and the breaking up of the family and the sacrifices of kids and the hardships they're having as a result of the breaking up of the family unit and the redefining of the family unit. Well, David, we're about up against the break. And we're going to talk more about these three passages that are really the core behind the family relationship and what it's doing to America and how communism is trying to destroy this family unit. And we'll talk more about this on the other side of the break.
Amazing grace.
They thought the Titanic was unsinkable. They thought the double bottom 16 watertight compartments could withstand anything. They thought the ship could float even with some water in its bulkheads. They thought the 3 million rivets holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought even after the ship had struck an iceberg that there was no cause for alarm. Everything would be all right. They thought all was fine, and some continued dancing, enjoying the music, and partying. They thought, but they were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of man, but rather only heed the word of God. Jesus stated that only those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. The Park Heights Church of Christ would like to welcome you to come and worship with us. We have Bible studies for all ages each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and our worship time begins each Sunday at 10:25 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Bible studies for all ages each Wednesday at 7 p.m. And the Park Heights Church of Christ, we stand in the old paths and we speak the truth in love.
That grace of blessed assurance.
Do not let the memories of your defeats discourage you. Those defeats happened yesterday. Those mistakes, blunders, follies, the things that shame you and fill you with remorse, they are part of a day that is gone. Today is a new day. God has given you a new 24 hours. The best way to put the horrors of yesterday behind us is to fill today with a new and a better effort. Put your trust in God and walk in the old paths. Jeremiah tells us about them in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, and good things will happen. Paul said, and we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, he says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Friends, let us focus on the future. I'm David Harris, preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and I invite you to worship with us every Sunday morning. Bible class begin at 9:30, worship at 10:30, midweek Bible classes at 7 p.m. Make plans now to attend. Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, and here with my good friend and partner on this radio show, Tom Moore from the Hamilton Park Heights Congregation of the Church of Christ there. We are in the middle of talking about socialism, communism, immorality, and what the Bible has to say about it. We have set out a premise here today Tom and I have. By the way, this is a live call-in talk show. I want to get the number out there, 254-445-2473, if you'd like to call in with a comment or a question. We have set forth the premise that communism cannot exist with God and that capitalism cannot exist without God. And we read the passages of Scripture in Ecclesiastes 3 and Ecclesiastes 5 to prove the points here about how communism or capitalism cannot exist without God. Now, when we look here at the communism, we look at Karl Marx, the father of all of communism, and his statements that he makes. And he points out that the family unit has no part, and the standard of God has no part in the say-so of what the family really is. Now, we also have another fellow here by the name of Friedrich Engels, who is a disciple of Karl Marx, and I would like to read you one of the tenets of his communistic influence. He says, the question is asked, what will the influence of communist society have on family? And here's his quote. It will transform the relations between the sexes into a purely private matter which concerns only the persons involved, into which society has no occasion to intervene. Now, that has nothing to do. It totally eliminates God in society to intervene and say, I have created this family unit, Tom, and I have created one man for one woman for life. And so we looked at God's plan. He initiated the plan in Genesis chapter 2 at the very beginning. It has gone through the centuries of all of God's people as the pattern and the standard for all of mankind. It comes through to the New Testament. Jesus Christ, the one with all authority, the one with all power, he reemphasizes the very structure that God has set up. We read it just a moment ago in Matthew chapter 19, and yet the society in which we live here, this God-given, God-based society in this United States of America, we have now a government in place that is trying to impose these communistic, socialistic ideologies on all of us and to eliminate the family as God would have it. And Tom, if that happens and when it happens, there will be no moral standard on marriage. And if that happens, this society will crumble down around its ears.
Exactly. And can you imagine, David, if there is no authority from God that is recognized in our world concerning marriage, what would prevent men from marrying and molesting little girls?
Nothing.
What would prevent homosexuals from marrying and molesting little boys?
Nothing.
What would prevent us from starting to marry baboons and cows and start being involved in bestiality? Well, there would be nothing that would keep us from that if we get away from God. You see, whenever we begin to open the door to the removal of God's view on marriage and the family in our world, we open the floodgates.
No doubt. And you remember a couple of 3 weeks ago, We did this show that was based upon the society that was established by a man in Liberal, Missouri. And what happened there, Tom? They got so disgusted with one another, they couldn't even stand one another.
Exactly. That's why, again, the Bible says, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. We have to keep that in the forefront of our minds through this whole process, that righteousness exalteth a nation. Well, David, we've talked about Genesis. We've talked about the beginning of the marriage relationship, the beginning of the family. Jesus talked about this very item there in the book of Matthew chapter 19, how that from the beginning it's always been one man, one woman for life. Man has tried to detour, to override, to try to skirt around God's law, but Jesus says you can't do it. But the Apostle Paul, He also gives us some vital instruction with regard to this family unit, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. And again, it's in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning of verse 21. Now, for those of you who'd like to call in, make a comment, the number to call is 254-445-2473. And what we're doing here today is we are showing you that communism cannot exist with God. They've got to take God out of the way. Now, there are those who would claim, Tom, that they believe in God, and yet they believe in communism. But what they want to try to make people think and believe is that they believe in God when all they really do is believe in a concept of a higher being, but they totally exclude and reject the Word of God, and to reject one is to reject the other.
Or perhaps they don't truly understand what communism's all about.
Either way.
That's right.
Either way. Now the family, as God would have it, is given again in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning of verse 21, and this totally wipes out anything that Muslims would have to say about marriage. Verse 21, it says, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. But now the husband has a role too.
Exactly.
It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself for it. He is the Savior of the body. Jesus Christ died for the church, and a husband is supposed to love that wife to that extent that he would love the wife and give his life for her. That kind of a dying love, an undying love for the woman of your life, that's what God wants for every man, every husband.
Just think how our world would change. Our family relationship would change. Our nation would change if every husband out there would treat their wives with such respect, would love their wives with the love of Christ, how great our nation would be, and how fewer problems we would have
mm-hmm.
in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And then we wouldn't have people going off and doing various things and getting away. God's Word is always the best route. It is the only route. It is the way that leads to a wonderful family, and it is the family, David, that's going to be the solid core of our government. And whenever the government begins to attack the family, as it has, and I guess as it will continue to do, there's where the problem is. We need to get back to the book.
And you know, we've all heard people say, well, I tried that marriage thing and it didn't work. The marriage thing that does work is marriage God's way.
Exactly.
That never, ever fails. It's when people try to impose man's standard up over and above a God standard is when marriage does not and will not work.
Mm-hmm.
And so now let's just take it a step further. Without God's standard, and that would be the communistic type of government that we are floating toward and gravitating toward, without God's standard on marriage, what kind of results are you going to have, Tom?
Well, you're going to have such things as cohabitation outside of God's standard for marriage. You know, you're going to have people who, instead of being married and living together as husband and wife, you have a man and a woman who are just, what do we call it, shacking up.
Shacking up.
Doing things their way as opposed to God's way. And I had an email here that, with regard to a comment here, it says how that child molesters have a sexual preference also, and they're going to express themselves as the gays do. And so, you see, whenever there is not God's law that's going to direct this, well, what do you have left?
Mm-hmm.
You have child molesters, there's no end to it as a result of people getting away from God's Word. Well, you see here that when God set forth his standard for marriage, we need to realize that that eliminates this cohabitation. It eliminates us having sex outside of the marriage relationship.
And that in this society in which we live, is kind of a foreign concept. People are doing that now with the same kind of forethought as they might with a handshake. And in many instances, mm-hmm. you look at your television. This is promoted by the Hollywood culture, promoted promiscuity, immorality. The whole thing is promoted. And so when communism comes in here and says, we are not going to have standards, none of that is going to count, that is appealing to some people when you put it in the context of moralities and the morals that God demands. A lot of people, they love sin so much that they are willing to forfeit their soul to be able to do whatever it is that they want to do.
You know, and when people get away from God's way of satisfying your sexual desires in the marriage relationship, it just gets worse and worse and worse. As a text message that I just had a moment ago, when you allow the world to influence you and get away from God, well, you're going to be promoting child molest. You know, right now people are saying, well, child molesting is horrible. It ought not to be so.
Mm-hmm.
They do that based upon Bible principles. It's against the law now. But if you get away from God and the Bible, who's to say that it's going to be against the law later on?
Well, it won't be.
If we keep going the way it is in communism, where there is no moral justification for doing this or that, you know, would you see how deplorable our world can become?
Well, one of the tenets that we read just a moment ago, the persons involved into the family, they are involved and into which society has no occasion whatsoever to intervene. So if there is molestation going on, the society and the laws and the government could not be able to intervene in that and say, you've got to stop the degradation that is actually taking place. So we look at God's standard on marriage, and without God's standard on marriage, we see the cohabitation outside of God's marriage as God would have it. And we look and we can find scriptural references here to back this up. This is not just something that the Harrison Moore Show has to say about this. This is something that God has to say about it. Tom, you got a scripture there for
me? Yeah, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, it says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Now, that word fornicator is an interesting word because it's a very broad term.
Mm-hmm.
Fornicators would include premarital sex. It would include pedophiles. It would include homosexuality. It would include bestiality. You know, and the list goes on and on. Anything that is contrary to God's law with regard to sexual activity is fornication. And he says, when we defile the bed with fornication, God's not pleased. Marriage is the honorable way, not fornication.
Right.
And living unmarried or having sexual relationships outside God's law is also is contrary to what God has to say with regard to marriage.
Exactly.
And you know, this kind of mentality leads to all kinds of horrible pornographic things that people are involved in also to satisfy those desires of the flesh, when it ought to be satisfied where? In the marriage relationship alone.
And as we started this program with Judges chapter 2 and verse 10, where it said a generation passed that did not know God, what we have now in regards to sexual immorality, what we have before us in this country right now is we have a bunch of kids that do not know God and do not regard sexual immorality as anything wrong.
That's right.
This is just a sexual favor from one to the other. Has absolutely nothing to do with a relationship, nothing to do with God, nothing to do with anything but self-gratification.
And you know what's scary about all this, David, is, and we'll talk probably more about this in a moment, but under this present Obamacare, they are promoting this very aspect by demanding that churches and businesses provide contraceptives and also medically induced abortions. What are they doing besides promoting this very thing? Well, I don't have to worry about it because my insurance will cover the not-after pill. What are they doing?
They're making us pay for it.
That's right. And they're deteriorating the family relationship, and they're promoting fornication by this very issue. Now, I'm not against, contraceptive in a marriage relationship, but whenever you're giving out free condoms at school, what's that doing? Promoting fornication and sex outside the marriage? Whenever you get away from God's way of doing things, sex in the marriage relationship and the family as God would have it, you're just bringing in all kinds of evil and immorality into our nation.
Now, another thing, and we're going to have to kind of press on now because we're running short of time. Again, we need a couple of hours here. Sam, you think you can arrange that for us without any more money?
I guess that's a no.
that looked like a no from here. But another thing, when we're talking about without God's standard in marriage, what you have is the following result. You have a homosexual relationship. Now, the homosexual relationship 30, 40, 50 years ago was absolutely unheard of. They knew it was going on. People knew that things like this went on, but it wasn't done openly and provocatively and with such pleasure, forcing other people to accept these abhorrent ways of behavior.
You know, it's one thing to be involved in sin, and it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it irritates me to no end when they try to push that on me and try to say, if I don't accept it, I'm a homophobe. Well, I don't accept it because it's contrary to God's law.
I don't accept it because I'm a Christian.
That's right. And so we ought not to be persuaded and pushed by this. But, David, whenever we start getting away from God's family unit and the way God says it ought to be, then we're going to be traveling down that route, and we're going to be giving them, forced to give them by the government special privileges, as we're already having to do many times.
Yes, and just to show you what God thinks about homosexuality, we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, where Paul tells the Corinthians there, "Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Now, what does that mean, Tom?
It means you're not going to go to heaven.
You can't go to heaven. Okay, here it is. Be not deceived. Now, why in the world would he say that? Because the world is trying to deceive everybody into believing it doesn't count. Communism is trying to say it doesn't count. Family doesn't count. Morality doesn't count. Nothing counts with communism except your own self-gratification for a while. And then when we get all of the elitists up there to tell us what we can and can't do, then we will let you know if it's okay.
That's right.
But meanwhile, he says here, be not deceived, neither fornicators, and you covered that just a moment ago, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. And we could go on, but he says they shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about homosexuality here. One of the things, when you get away from the marriage relationship as God would have it, one of the things that would crop up here, and people have absolutely no problem with it now.
Exactly right. And, you know, associated with this homosexual lifestyle and has been prevalent for a while, it's spread in other areas now, but it began predominantly among the homosexual community, is many of the AIDS epidemics that we're now seeing taking place in our world today. Now, I realize today that AIDS can also be incurred by other means today, but it predominantly began among the homosexual community. And whenever we get away from God's way of doing things, we're going to be suffering the consequences. Whenever you violate God's law, there are consequences. And we see that occurring in our very day.
No doubt about it. And here is something that is absolutely abhorrent. And many people do not know that this is going on. Because we have been silent, because we have sat back and let society itself try to destroy the family as God would have it, what we have now is we have a court system throughout this United States of America that will allow homosexual couples, a couple of lesbians, a couple of homosexuals, it will allow them to adopt children into that culture. Now, what we have seen recently, and this is going to just absolutely blow your mind, Tom, we have sex-changing treatment for kids. And it's on the rise. We are seeing homosexuals adopt children and promote and allow a sex change operation, sex change medication take place in that child's life to change him to a her and her to a him.
That just shows you how degenerate our society has become to allow these type of things. But you know, David, whenever God's out of the picture, it just shows you how far and how degenerate we can become. I just can't imagine. Here we have an 8-year-old, 13-year-old. They're still trying to find themselves, and they have parents telling them that you're really a girl or you're really a boy when you, in reality you're not. It just makes me want to throw up.
This is what you get into, though. This is what you get into when you get away from God's standards. One of the most phenomenal things that we read about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, when Paul told them, and we read it just a moment ago, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves of mankind. None of them can enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, notice verse 11. "And such were some of you." But they changed.
That's right.
You see, they changed because this is not something that God imposed upon them. This is something that they chose to believe. And because they chose to believe these things, once they got the right kind of thinking and once they got introduced to God's standard, they changed from the illicit, immoral ways of the world to the righteous ways of God, because that is what the family is all about.
That's right. And this was a spiritual change. It wasn't a physical change by making a boy a girl or a girl a boy. We're talking about a spiritual change here. A lifestyle saying, I'm no longer going to commit those sexual crimes that God has forbidden me to be involved in.
Right.
We're going to satisfy our sexual desires within the marriage relationship between a man and a woman. That's the way God designed it to be in the beginning.
Right.
That's the way it has to be today.
You know, society, as communism would have it, would never be able to support the illegitimacy of the number of children being born outside of that marriage relationship, Tom. And here is where you see things like Obamacare being introduced.
Exactly.
The contraception and the abortion that you were talking about and the government wanting to pay for it, and we, the people, are the government.
And then there's the euthanasia aspect of this, euthanasia, where if you're to a certain extent and you can't be helped, you're withheld the proper medication that you need because you're not going to be a blessing to society anymore. That comes from socialism. That comes from communism, that kind of mentality. And that's what happens when we get away from God's law, because the Bible tells us that every person is important and vital because they possess a soul like God does.
Now, we have talked about all of the problems that are confronting us right now, but now let's don't hesitate to leave without the solution. And in Second Chronicles, we had a nation of God's people who had drifted away from God. But God gave them the standard, they accepted the standard, they took the oath of the standard, and then we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and verse number 7, he says, "Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build those cities, and let us make them walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God." Now notice this, because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and they prospered. And we're right back where we started from. The gift of God that every man may enjoy the fruits of his own labor, Tom.
Exactly. And that's the key for us being successful as a nation today. We get back to God. We do things God's way. Remember, it is righteousness that exalteth a nation. My friends, let's get back to God and his word, and let's make this nation the kind of nation that God would be happy with. Now remember that you need to always put God first in your life and in your nation, and hope and trust in him, and he's going to help us get through this if we'll just put our faith and hope back in him. David, send us off.
I want to take this opportunity to thank everyone for listening tonight. I know that you didn't have an occasion to call, or you were just listening so hard you couldn't call, but I hope it wasn't our fault for not giving out the number enough times tonight. I want to sign off again by saying, read your Bibles. Understand what God's will is for you. Understand what God's will is for all of us. And let's, as a nation, get together and let's pull for that which is right according to God. God bless our troops, and God bless America.
Amen.